This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, this is John Franco, and you're listening to the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN New York. Let's go Mets.
Thank you, John, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. It is March 23rd, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, that is your responsibility. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Good stuff. Important stuff. Vital stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be that big. It is going to be that big. So we're going to start off with the Giants. I think the Giants have done as much to improve their team in free agency as any team other than the Patriots. Now, a lot of people are talking about how much money the Giants have spent. Well, a lot of the money was spent to keep one of their own. So, yeah, they brought in Galladay, gigantic. They brought in the tight end from Minnesota. That's a big one, but that wasn't a tremendous amount of money. And yesterday, they bring in Adoree Jackson, a cornerback that now will pair up with Bradberry to put together a really stout secondary. Really yep. Stout. Now, I've told you all what I felt about the Giant offense now. Their weapons match up with just about any team. Now, you can make the case for your team and say, well, their weapons are better than the Giants. Okay, but the Giants are in the conversation. The only thing offensively, in terms of a skill position that you worry about, is Daniel Jones for real or not? Now, the offensive line's not a great offensive line, but you know everybody talks about the Cowboys. The Cowboys' offensive line is not what it used to be either. It's just not. And I've thought about this a lot. I really have. And I've come to the conclusion, Peter's not going to like this. Andrew's not going to like it. Ray Santiago's not going to like it. I think the Giants are going to win their division.
Blah, 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 blah.
I really do. I think they're going to win the division. We have given Dave Gettleman a lot of grief over the years. But I think that he came to this conclusion. He's 70 years old. If the Giants don't do well again this year, he's gone. I mean, they'll probably do it in a nice way. He'll be GM emeritus. But he's gone. So he knew he had to be decisive and make important moves. And he has. He's had a great free agency period. And now what he's done is he freed himself up to pick the best player that's available when the Giants pick. He doesn't necessarily have to fill a need. So I think Washington's a decent team. I don't think they're great. I mean, what's their quarterback situation? Are you saying that Ryan Fitzpatrick is better than Daniel Jones? I think Daniel Jones has the potential to be way better than Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He
now,
does.
We don't with the Cowboys, we have no idea what Dak Prescott's going to be. That was a devastating injury that he suffered. And I don't like their coach that much. And the Eagles, their young coach is still finishing that first question from the press conference. And they're going to go with Jalen Hurts. I think the Eagles, far and away, are the last place team. Then I looked at William Hill's odds, Peter. I don't know if you saw this. So if you want to bet, William Hill has the Giants as the longest shot to win their division at plus 475. Eagles at 425, Washington football team plus 300, Dallas at plus 100. I'm going with the Giants. I tell you what, if I lived in Jersey and had access to the app, I would bet the Giants. I'd throw some money on the Giants. I think the Giants are a good pick. I think they have a really good coach. I think they have the best coach in the division. Sorry, Ron Rivera. But I think the Giants are in great shape, what they've done. And I think Gettleman realized you better win and make the playoffs this year or you're not going to have a job. And at 70, that means you're not going to get another GM's job. I think he acted with urgency and realized get it done this year or it's not going to be you anymore. It's going to be somebody else.
You said so many things I disagree with. I don't know where to start. Actually, I know where to start, where I do agree with you. The Giants being put as likely to come in last place by William Hill is insane. The Eagles are far and away the worst team in the division, at least on paper, I don't even think, Andrew, you wouldn't argue that, would you? That on paper they are definitely the worst team in the division?
That's how I feel, yeah.
Yeah, so like that I find that shocking. I also think you're right. The Giants are absolutely at least in play with the other teams. The shoring up of their secondary is tremendous. The adding of Golladay is awesome. You can say that Daniel Jones could be better than Ryan Fitzpatrick. And we all agree that if Daniel Jones turns out to be who he's supposed to be, well, he sure as hell better turn out to be better than Ryan Fitzpatrick. But what you can't tell me, Michael, is that you know based on what you've seen that he's going to be better than Ryan Fitzpatrick or Dak Prescott next season. That you definitely do not know.
No. You're going to gamble that he is going to be elevated by the people around him. That's a potent weaponry they've put around him. Really. And it does. I'm going to gamble that Saquon Barkley is going to be healthy and he's going to return to what he was. You have a great running game. You have outstanding receivers. You have really good tight ends. And again, the offensive line is a little bit of a question mark. Maybe they could address that in the draft. But the bottom line is they've done they finished one game out last year, right? One game behind Washington. So you don't think that what they've done gives them two or three more wins? I don't think Washington has exponentially got any better. And Dallas, they get better because they get back their starting quarterback.
Well, okay, fair. Two things, though. You made it sound like I'm not so sure about Dak Prescott, but I'm very confident in Saquon Barkley. They're both coming off of bad injuries.
No. Saquon Barkley's injury is much more normal than the injury that Dak Prescott had.
What was Dak's exact injury?
His ankle was pointing the wrong way. I mean, Saquon Barkley suffered a knee injury. Not a great knee injury, a bad knee injury, but those things, people do recover.
It was a
ask
compound
Alex
fracture.
Ask Alex Smith how hard it was. Yeah, ask Alex Smith how hard it was to come to that from a compound fracture.
Compound fracture and dislocation.
It's not what you want.
It's not what you want. But listen, my expectation is that Dak Prescott will be at least close to Dak Prescott. And don't forget, they still have CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper and Gallup. They still have weapons in Dallas. But I think you're right. A lot of us have no confidence in Dallas based on their coach and what they did last year. Listen, I'm not going to lie, Michael. I want to believe that Washington's going to win the division. But seriously, if I was a betting man right now, I think I probably would bet the Giants are most likely for first place also.
So then you agree with everything I said?
No, I don't. I don't fundamentally agree that Jones will be a better quarterback than Ryan Fitzpatrick next season. I don't know that. And you said Washington didn't do that much to improve. Well, they went from starting Taylor Heineke in a playoff game so they could at least trot out an NFL quarterback. We may not think Ryan Fitzpatrick's a Hall of Famer, but he's an NFL quarterback. So they did do. And by the way, the Redskins went out and Washington went out and got Samuel, who's Golladay at Jace. They both got a major upgrade at wide receiver.
Golladay's better. He's better. I mean, all the statistics say he's better. So, I mean, the thing with Golladay, he missed a lot of time last year with the hip. They probably examined every hair on his body. He was in the Giant facility so long.
1,000 yards last year for Curtis Samuel.
How many touchdowns?
Six.
All right. So if you go back to years
750.
Ago.
I'm sorry. Let me get these stats right. These things are very hard to read. 851 yards and three touchdowns last year.
Right.
With Teddy Bridgewater.
So last year, Golladay had, what, like 350 and two in five games. In a full season in 2019, he had 1,100 plus and 11 touchdowns, which led the league.
And being thrown to by?
Matthew Stafford.
Who's known to do that. He does put up numbers. Stafford does.
But I think, Michael, I'm bullish on the Giants too, but the problem is, what does all this mean if they're not going to protect the quarterback? So you can have all these weapons. You can have Barkley coming back. And listen, Michael, we've seen Barkley in space is tremendous. He's not creating holes for himself running the football. A matter of fact, to be honest with you, this might sound ridiculous, but what they did last year running the football when Barkley was out was kind of just, you know, pounded up the middle. I don't know if Barkley suited to do that. So they might actually been a better running team with Barkley out because they were able to just feed the middle of the line, push the pile at times. Goleman did a great job at that, finding a seam and taking off. You know, Barkley's the juke and jive and trying to buy time, and it frustrated you to no end, if you remember, because the line didn't give him that time, and he'd end up losing 5-6 yards. Yeah, he'd break a 60-yarder, but in the process, he'd end up losing some yardage. So is the lack of faith in the fact that, yeah, you can have all the weapons you want, if you don't have the offensive line, what does it matter?
Well, I mean, but I don't think the Giant offensive line is porous, and I think that another year together, they were pretty young. Yeah. I mean, I hope Andrew Thomas is better than he was last year. He was dreadful last year.
Well, even they do play get that back position
Solder.
This year.
They get back Solder.
Right, so Solder, which means now he moves to the right, so now he's playing a different position than he did last year. I'm with you. I think another year together, but clearly they believe that Dallas's offensive line is better, that Washington's offensive line is better, and even though Jones might be better than Fitzpatrick and the weapons might be a tad bit better, Fitzpatrick with protection can carve you up. Prescott can do, and he's had nothing but good offensive lines his entire career.
I'm really, and I could be so off base here, but I don't get people going crazy over Fitzpatrick. He's two games really good, one game, 5 interceptions. He's not a great quarterback. I thought that Washington would take the next step this year. That's not the quarterback they should take the next step with. He's hit or miss. He's not consistent at all.
I can't argue there.
Absolutely. That's why you'll never win with him. Washington's not going to win a championship. But, you know, the last time the Jets were good, 10-6, he was the starting quarterback, threw 30 touchdown passes. So I think this Washington team is better than that 2015 Jet team that went 10-6.
Donnie was 32 then. He's 38 this year.
I know.
He's not Tom Brady.
No, he's not Tom Brady, but he's a guy that, you know, you can't win the whole thing with him. But like I said to Peter when they got him, there's going to be times he's going to have you in the fetal position in tears, and then there's going to be times he's going to skip to work because he threw for 350 and 4 touchdowns. He's maddening, but in a season where you're trying to just grab something, take advantage of it, he can do that. He's not going to. They're not winning a championship with him. You don't think that, Peter, right?
No, I feel.
But they weren't going to get a quarterback that was going to do that for them anyway.
I think that's the thought process, and then I think they draft someone young, and that's it. But to your point, Don, it may not be enough to make them a championship team, but it could make them enough to prevent the Giants from winning the division.
If they're not winning the division, what the Giants are doing is growing, getting better, and Tannenbaum said it yesterday, with the expanded playoffs, they can sneak into a wild card.
You really don't think they have a chance to win the division?
I don't think so. A chance.
I think they have had, other than the Patriots, the most effective free agency of any team in the NFL.
Right.
And they patched up a lot of their holes. I think the signing yesterday of Jackson was gigantic. Gives him a really good secondary, two really good cornerbacks. So Absolutely. He takes the place of DeAndre Baker, who was supposed to be that guy and obviously got into some trouble. So, I mean, we're looking at Washington, right? Fitzpatrick. Everybody loves Fitzpatrick so much. He has never in his career made the playoffs, ever. Now he's going to make it at 38. So I eliminate Washington. The only team I worry about with the Giants, whether they're going to win the division or not, is the Cowboys. The Cowboys have a chance to be very good.
I think I would pick the Cowboys to win this division just from the continuity standpoint. They're bringing the best quarterback of the division back. They've got tons of weapons. Their defense is defective, but they'll make some changes with a new defensive coordinator. I don't think a championship's coming out of this division. But I think we're sleeping on just how amazing that Washington defense is and how they almost beat the eventual champions. And if they got a little bit better quarterback play. Now, he threw for a ton of yards in that game, but, you know, couldn't score. I think that's what they're looking at. If they got a team with a great defense, some nice weapons, and if they can get any better quarterback play. Listen, Alex Smith was a great story, but he wasn't a great quarterback. He was a great story, but you were limited to what you can do with him, right? So
Very.
Can they be 9-7 this year and compete for the division? Sure, I think Dallas can go 10-6 and win it, and then I think the Giants could be right there to get a wild card spot. Because I need to see what this offensive line is going to be. I need to see what Barkley's going to be coming back from missing almost the entire season. You know, and this secondary is great, but you know, I can Williams do what he did last year? They certainly think he can because they gave him a big contract. But that's the first time in his career that he put legitimate pressure on the quarterback. He never did that with the Jets. So I'm bullish on him too, Michael. I'm not picking him to win this division. Maybe I was too strong not giving them a chance because you know anything can happen. I think they'll be right there. I think they're a solid 8-8, 9-17.
Here is Chris Canty from DPHO Canty and Rothenberg. You could hear them every Monday through Friday from 5 to 8. And he talked about William Hill having the Giants as having the worst odds to win the NFC East. Here's Chris.
We've seen four games of Jalen Hurts, and he won one of them. That's it. And this Eagles roster has gotten old overnight, so I'm just sitting there trying to figure out what does William Hill see that we don't see? Because, I mean, with Daniel Jones, I mean, had it not been for that hamstring injury, you're probably talking about the New York Football Giants winning a division and hosting a home playoff game. I don't understand how you could pick them to finish behind the Eagles. The Washington Football Team, I get, because they probably have the most elite unit of any of the teams in the division, that being their defense. Like, the Dallas Cowboys, I get. With Dak Prescott healthy, the floor for that team is 8-8. I get those two teams, but with Philly finishing in front of the Giants and we're not knowing who their quarterback is going to be, I got an issue with that.
Now, are we sure it's William Hill or was it Benny Hill? I don't understand how the Giants could be beneath the Eagles.
It's a little much, unless they just believe that Jalen Hurts is going to take that huge step. He showed some signs. They'll have a last place schedule, right? And the other thing that really hurts the Giants is they don't play against the Eagles very well, right? I mean, they lost that game, that first game they should have won, but they didn't win it. Then they held on to win the next game. Philadelphia's kind of had their number. I would definitely pick Philadelphia to be last. But would I be shocked, Michael, if we're watching the Giants, you know, having trouble finishing off the Philadelphia Eagles? They always have trouble with the Eagles. It's ridiculous. And they've had trouble with the Cowboys recently, too. The only team they were able to beat turned out to be the best team in the division, Washington. And look what that took. They probably lose that game if they don't go for two, Peter. I know we harp on that all the time. That game's going to overtime, and they're going to lose. So I believe the Giants will be better, but there's a lot of hurdles to climb here. What's the offensive line going to be? Is Daniel Jones going to take the next step? Can this team win some of these tough games? Because no matter who the coach has been, no matter who the quarterback has been, my God, do they find ways to lose. So I hope that these acquisitions change that, but until you see it,
well, we can't wait till we see it. I'm making the point now on March 24th or 23rd, whatever day it is. I think that their moves have made them a lot better.
I think so, too. But I think
I think Joe Judge showed he's a heck of a coach.
Dallas and then Washington and the Giants, to me, are very close. Either of those teams are interchangeable at 2 or 3. And then that third-place team, maybe because of the expansion of the playoffs, can get in. I think they can be a playoff team. I don't know if you go and jump and win the division, because I'm sure what William Hill's looking at, Michael, is they look like, after they beat Seattle, poised to take this division. I mean, Jones got hurt, but everything kind of fell apart.
But now you're getting Jones back healthy with more weapons, so I don't know why the drop-off would be that big from where they were before the Jones injury.
It has to be because of the offensive line. It has to be.
And they must not have that much respect for Jones then. That's it.
That's probably part of it, too.
But I don't
why
know
would
how
you have
don't
all the respect
Jones,
in the world? What's been the difference between Hurts and
right. Why,
and Jones?
Why respect Hurts and not Jones? Jones has more time under center. Hurts, as Chris said, 1-3 in the four games he started. I didn't see anything that knocked my socks off. Anyway, we want you to get involved in this conversation. 1-800-919-3776. A reminder, Drop Madness continues today, so keep it right here on 98.7 ESPN in the 4 o'clock hour when we announce the matchups. And be ready to cast votes for each one at TMKS on Twitter. Drop Madness is presented by Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Wendy's, we got you. Let me give you the number one more time. 1-800-919-3776. We're going to have a great time today. We've got some good guests as well. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. It's Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Julius Randle gets fined $15,000 for, you know, salty language aimed at the officials. So $15,000, and did he get his money's worth? I don't know if he feels it's worth it, but 15 grand because he used bad words.
He's been cruising for a bruising with these officials.
Now, I like the saltiness because it shows that he really wants to win. But between that incident and the incident the first time against the Sixers with the block that ended up being a travel up and down, the Knicks aren't in a position where they really can get on the wrong side of the officials. These games are going to get close. Do you really want to build up that kind of reputation where you end up not getting the calls because a young up-and-coming team gets dubbed as whiners and complainers?
And, you know, I believe he already has seven technicals, too. So you're right, Don. If he becomes that guy, you're never going to get any close calls, ever.
Right. And you don't. They don't need that because they're going to lose games like they did on Sunday, and a call not going their way is going to cost them dearly down the stretch. So you don't want to – it works in all sports, right? The great players get the black, get the corners. In baseball, hockey, the same thing. Football, forget about it. You know, Michael Irvin could just throw a cornerback down and not get offensive pass interference, likely get the reverse. So as the Knicks mature, maybe they'll get there where they'll get the benefit of the doubt. But this upstart, you know, 500 teams probably not going to get calls against the Bucks and the Sixers and maybe even the Nets because they don't have the stars that have that gravitas just yet.
Let's go to the phones, 1-800-919-3776.
They don't have the stars, full stop, Don.
But they're looking, and we'll have Frank Isola on at 5:30 today with the trade deadline approaching on Thursday. So we'll see what's cooking, and, you know, there are differing reports whether or not the Knicks are pursuing people but not wanting to give up too much. They have the cap space, so maybe waiting till people get bought out. So Frank will have some information with that and also information on the Nets. Let's go to Joe in Brooklyn. Joe, you're first on the show today.
What an honor. How are we doing, gentlemen?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. I'm watching you guys on the beautiful Yes Network TV app. It's unbelievable. You all look even more beautiful. It's incredible.
Really?
Michael's voice sounds better. It's incredible.
Really? I just want to flip family members.
Pass you guys this William Hill odds on the Giants this year. So there's a couple things. So I work in risk management for a living. What they're doing is creating a straddle. They're capitalizing on both Giants diehard fans and the Giants haters. And this area is split, even though the fans are far more on the blue side. Generally speaking, the football market, all sports markets are split in some way. So they're creating a straddle on that. And that's a business move more than anything, than an indicator of how the team's going to perform. That said, they came off the worst division ever, if not a top three worst division ever. No offensive line improvement, and they're an injury, a Saquon Barkley injury away from that potentially happening and falling into that last spot.
See, now, I don't necessarily agree with that because they lost Barkley last year and they were fine with the running game. So I don't necessarily agree with that. And to say they did nothing with the offensive line, they're getting back Nate Solder. So, yeah, he's moving over to the right side, but this is a veteran that knows how to play. I don't think he's going to get overrun on the line. That's an improvement right there. They lost Zeitler, and I thought that was a mistake,
right.
But they had to create cap room, which they've used very wisely. I give Kevin Abrams a lot of credit. He has really massaged his cap beautifully, and I think he's done a good job, but they had to make some moves and bite the bullet.
But you got to see it, right? But I think everybody looks at, well, Barkley's coming back. That's going to improve the offense. I think it can improve the explosiveness of the offense. I remember they went out and replaced Gallman. They went out and got Booker. I mean, they're fine running the football. But they've got to create holes. And, you know, we're talking about Solder coming back, Michael, but he wasn't great when he played.
No, I get it. But I think he might be better than the people that struggled last year.
Right. Well,
he certainly
hope
didn't
Thomas
have any
is better.
Wear and tear on his body. I mean, the key is Andrew Thomas better get better.
Well,
he was the worst of the four offensive linemen, I think, picked in the first round. And the Giants, they picked first in terms of the teams that needed offensive linemen. That was their choice. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Andrew in Queens. Andrew?
Gentlemen, appreciate you taking the call as always. Thank you.
You got it.
Just got to say before I get to my giant point, Michael, you and John doing the Yankee game was, or you know, both games were awesome. But if I have to give one bit of disappointment in it, is the fact that in both of those games, we didn't get one Yankee home run, which means we didn't get one Jonathan home run call. So that was a little disappointing. So hopefully, you know, I don't know if there's any way possible to do it again during the season or you know, hopefully next year, like you said at the end of the broadcast yesterday, you know, it doesn't go 20 years before the next one. So,
Andrew, I'll tell you, I'll let you finish your giant point, but not only no home run, yesterday they got two hits and three base runners, so there wasn't much offense.
In a word, it was troubling.
Troubling.
So,
yes.
More for us tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe Don's going to get a home run call tomorrow.
Hey, watch. You guys, you'll have five home run calls between you and John got nothing. Nice. Anyway, in regards to the Giants, look, I couldn't agree more with you, Michael. I think the Giants obviously are the team to beat. And the way I look at it, beyond the additions that they did this year and hopefully whatever Gettleman does in the draft, I look at their schedule. And, you know, assuming that I personally think you play the Cowboys, you play the Eagles, you play the Washington Football Club six times, I'm assuming they're going 4-2, 3-3 at worst. That's what I'm looking at. And then you look at the other teams, and they're facing the Broncos, who went 5-11 last year. They're facing the Falcons, who went 4-12 last year. The Panthers, that went 5-11 last year. The Bears, who went 8-8. And then you get a Saints team where the quarterback situation can be a little rough. I don't see how this team, barring any injuries, and there's a lot of ifs, I get that, but I don't see how this team isn't at least 500 or goes 9-7, which mm-hmm. in the NFC East should be good enough to win the division.
Well, that's kind of where I have them. But I think Washington can be better because I think their quarterback is better than what they had last year. And Dallas is going to have Prescott all year long. So if Dallas goes 10-6, they're winning the division. So, yeah, 8-8, 9-7, we agree. It's just that I respect Washington, Dallas, I think, a little bit more than some other Giant fans do. I'm not sure 8-8, 9-7 is competing to win this division. I would almost guarantee you're going to have to finish above 500 to win this division. Last year was an aberration.
I agree, Don. I think it's definitely improved in that regard regardless. You will need more this year. And I'm not saying Washington's a Super Bowl team, but they're going to be a year better than they were last year. And Dallas should be markedly better than they were last year.
Let's go to Sean in Long Island. Sean?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. This point was kind of directed to Peter. I wanted to give him a little ammunition as far as the Ryan Fitzpatrick talk. Now, I'm a Jet fan, so I witnessed the Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic live up close and personal. So I know what you were getting at, Mike. But I heard a stat today, and I believe it was on Greeny's show. They said over the course of the last three seasons, now you would agree, three seasons is a large sample size. They said that Fitzpatrick is a top five quarterback QBR rating somewhere between Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson over the last three seasons. With that being said, I think that is a huge upgrade for them at quarterback. I think that makes them clearly the favorites to win the division. Now, like I said, I'm a Jets fan, so I might be a little biased to not picking the Giants, I'll be honest. But I think Fitzpatrick is getting cut a little slack based on his past narrative of him being, you know, this wild gunslinger that, you know, will cost you games. Like I said, I witnessed personally. But the guy is a top five quarterback. QBR rating over the last three seasons.
Well, you know what,
Peter has
Sean,
a lot to be proud of.
Listen, first of all, I love the fact that you listen to the station all day, listen to Greeny. That's great, but you can make numbers dance whichever way you want. Is Ryan Fitzpatrick a top five quarterback in the NFL? So you're saying
no.
He's top five QBR. He might not be top 15.
So here, someone made a great point. Actually, it was Brian Mitchell. I do a hit with J.P. Finley and Brian Mitchell in D.C. on Thursdays. And we were talking about Fitzpatrick, and someone brought up the stats of what Fitzpatrick was over his last 16 games, right? Mm-hmm. Over his last 16 starts. And B. Mitch pointed out astutely, yeah, but you know those 16 starts were not consecutive. You're going back now over several years because he gets benched. That's the problem.
Well,
the starts aren't all consecutive because in the middle he goes out for three games when he plays terribly.
Because he's actually, in the last few years, have always had somebody over his shoulder, right?
That was just because you have someone over your shoulder doesn't mean you have to get benched.
No, but not over his shoulder. But, like, they wanted to play Tua. Fitzpatrick wasn't benched. The back and forth was to try to get Tua some playing time. Right?
The first time this has happened with Fitzpatrick.
Right, but then it was Winston before that, where he would bail out Winston, then Winston would come back because Tampa was invested
in
Winston.
Don,
so.
But in both cases, those were both teams competing at first to try to make the playoffs. You're telling me that if Ryan was so good that he was winning them games, they wouldn't have said, all right, kid, hold on. We want to see what Fitzpatrick has here.
No, but
if
this
he
year,
really was that good.
I don't know what they're going to do with Heinicke, but I would think that they're all in on Fitzpatrick, where they're not itching to have their future play in a game.
Well, we say that now, though, until they go out and draft a kid that plays well in training camp and people are excited about the rookie they have. And then all of a sudden, maybe he is that. Although they paid him $10 million.
Let's go to John in Mahwah. John.
Hey, guys, how are you? If you guys get really good ratings tomorrow, and that means there are going to be more opportunities for the guys to be on the show, I got bad news for you. You're going to blow it out of the water. I hate the Yankees. I don't watch the Yankees. I am sitting down. I am watching that game tomorrow. I can't
there
wait
you
for
go.
It.
There
and
you
Don,
go.
And Don, bring an orange to the game with you.
Love it.
Well, I've got to tread lightly, right? Because this is really what, if I'm nervous at all, it's not about the play-by-play, it's not about the fact that I'm doing it from home, is that balance of what is this audience going to expect from us, Peter? Because you're going to have Yankee fans are going to want a straight Yankee game, and then you're going to have fans wanting us to do what we do 4 hours every day. So I think we got to balance that line between the two. But, John, the best I can hope for, and Michael, you can agree or disagree, is that if we kill it, we get asked back to do it next year. This is not going to happen like during the regular season. This is not going to happen multiple times, during the course of spring training. If we nail it, the best case scenario, Michael, would be that we would do a game next year. Maybe a whole game on the weekend or something like that. That's the ceiling. The ceiling's the roof with that.
It could be an annual thing.
But that's
it
the best.
It could be that you guys
for.
End up like you and Peter get assigned to do like 10 spring training games.
No, that's not
that. See, now you're just again. Well, first of all, I wouldn't want 10 spring. Don, are you clamoring for 10? That's a lot.
No, I would be perfectly happy if this became an annual thing. That once a year we get to do it, and the dream would be that we'd get to do a whole game. Now, obviously, that's difficult to do unless it's a night game during the week. But if they carved out a Saturday or Sunday where we can sit down and do a whole game, that would be the best-case scenario for me. Regular season, forget. That ship sailed.
But I'm...
No, it didn't sail. It never left the port.
No, thank you. I'll tell you what, though, Michael. I'm a little worried Don is nervous.
I think Don's a little antsy. I wouldn't say nervous. I don't think like he's going to wet the bed, but I think he's a little antsy. I think he's
because now
putting
you're putting,
a lot
now
of...
You're, now you're talking about your best-case scenarios. Like, I'm not even... this is the best case scenario is we raise $30,000 for making make a wish and we're going to have a ball tomorrow.
I'm just talking to the caller's point that we're going to do tremendous ratings and now we're all of a sudden going to become an option for Flip. We're going to all of a sudden appear on the schedule.
Okay. Yeah,
that's not happening. But I'm just saying is that what I'm kind of anxious about is giving the people what they want. Because I do think there are a lot of people curious. I'm getting a lot of tweets from people that would not watch the game otherwise. They're going to watch. I don't want to disappoint them. When Peter is breaking down, analytics, and I'm talking about where everybody's from.
No, I'm not. Hold on. You just did it backwards, Don. Let me focus on where they're from. You do the analytics.
Well, you're the one that threw out the Judge stat.
I was reading the back of a baseball card.
All right, let's shower off right now and towel off. This is a big day tomorrow. We're on at 1:05. Yankees against the Blue Jays. I spoke to Paul O'Neill today because Ryan Rucca and Paul O'Neill are actually starting the game. It's their game, and they're going to step aside for the innings that we do.
Damn right they will.
And Paul said, yeah, I was told that Ryan and I have to hang there in case something happens. So, I mean, there's a contingency plan. It's not like Paul O'Neill's going to go get lunch.
So I would think, Michael, that is a precaution for something technically happening.
Yeah, I mean, technically what they're trying to do tomorrow is a bear. They're going to have Meredith in one place, Ryan in another place, Paul in his house, you in your house, Peter in his house, me in my house.
Wow.
That's a lot of things that could go wrong, but we have a great group of people that put this all together, and I think it's going to work out fine. Tune in and find out. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay, LeGreco, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
I think the Giants are going to win their division. We have given Gabe Gettleman a lot of grief over the years, but I think that he came to this conclusion. He's 70 years old. If the Giants don't do well again this year, he's gone. So he knew he had to be decisive and make important moves, and he has. He's had a great free agency period.
The Giants being put as likely to come in last place by William Hill is insane. You can say that Daniel Jones could be better than Ryan Fitzpatrick. What you can't tell me, Michael, is that you know based on what you've seen that he's going to be better than Ryan Fitzpatrick or Dak Prescott next season. That you definitely do not know.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
In the mood for some Knick basketball tonight, right here. It'll be the Knicks against the Wizards. So pregame's at 7, right after our show. And on Yes, later on tonight, the Nets against Don's favorite team, the Portland Trailblazers.
That's right.
Don, you ever going to tell us why you love Portland so much?
Nope. You'll
not
never
a chance.
Find out. You had a shot last year.
Or that's it.
Earlier this year or last year. I don't remember.
So the milk is out of the udder. It can't go back in.
Well, maybe if the mood strikes me and there's a big game. I can't throw out if they win tonight. Who knows what that team is going to show up? No Kyrie. No KD.
And Harden's questionable. I think he's going to play, but he has a neck injury from the previous game. I think he'll play because that's what that guy does. He plays.
It's a shame, too, because the story is fascinating, intriguing. It's like gather around the radio and hear me spin a really good yarn. But it's not going to happen.
I'd love to hear it, though. I mean, I'd love to hear it off the air. I mean, we're close enough that I can.
There's a select few people that know, and the others could easily figure it out. Like yourself, but that's all right.
I think I know, but, you know, I don't like to make assumptions. Because when you assume, the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. We love Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. Also, the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. I've had Geico insurance since I was 17.
It's
you
amazing.
Do the math. I'm 60 now. How long have I had it?
Longer than anybody, I think.
Longer than Peter's been alive. I've had it 43 years.
43 years. And counting. Because you're very happy with the product.
Oh, I'm delighted.
They're in a very good business.
Yeah, everybody needs to be insured.
And Progressive's getting close, but Progressive sometimes whiffs. But Geico, there's always some level, but it's all funny.
Oh, commercial-wise, you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, product-wise, it's
product-wise, give me a break. Classic. Can I give a quick shout-out? Before
if
I forget,
you want.
Jesus and Elizabeth just swung by and delivered some big, huge yes apparatus that I'm going to have to set up for tomorrow.
Gigantic.
And apparently saw Nancy in the front yard and said, hey, Nancy, knows the entire family name, loves the show, listens all the time, in the truck now. Jesus, great job.
Really?
Keep listening. Yeah.
Is Jesus going to go talk with Carlos, maybe get some free coffee? Or
I don't know. If Carlos had a delivery, maybe.
Love it. That is, that, you know what? Remember Knott's Landing, Peter? You might be too young for that.
I
don't
remember
you think Don's
it,
cul-de-sac
it.
Should be like a primetime hour drama every single week?
You know what? Based on what I've heard and where Don lives, I think it'll be pretty boring, to be honest, because life's good for them. They're just hanging out.
Yeah.
They had a movie named Pleasantville. It works.
It's what this country really needs to be about because, first of all, our cul-de-sac is a tremendous melting pot. Every Christmas we get together for a Christmas party. We always gather out on a nice warm summer night, go outside, maybe come by somebody else's pool. It's a real community here. Very happy we moved here.
You really, it's Shangri-La. It really is. Very quickly, Don and Peter will join me for innings 2, 3, maybe 4, I'm not sure, for the Yankees and the Blue Jays tomorrow. On Yes, if you're watching the simulcast, it's right where you are. And, boy, we're going to come on the show at 3 o'clock or 2:55. We're going to talk your ear off about what's happening.
We still got to do 2:55 tomorrow?
Yeah, because we're a radio vehicle until the game goes off.
Right.
Sure. And we're available because Michael's not doing the rest of the game, so we're going to be connected. Now, if the mood does strike you, Michael, and that's still very much in the air, What half inning do you think I'll have the distinct pleasure of doing?
I think you, to make it easier for you, I think you should have a Yankee half inning when they're up.
Okay.
And probably, I'd say, the bottom of the second. I'll just set the tone with the top of the second, and then you take over in the bottom of the second. Now, John doesn't get moved much, right? So this is on the Yes Network, and I told him before the first game we did together, I said, you're doing the six innings of play-by-play. I'll do three, just like we did on the radio. He goes, you don't have to do that. This is your thing. I said, it's all about what's right. It's respect. I think Don has to do tomorrow at the bottom of the second. We'll see how it goes. I hope three home runs.
Well, that's something. Because I just wanted to get a little bit of a heads up. I mean, I'll be prepared either way, but, you know, I want to know what batters I'm going to be doing. That's great. That's a great sacrifice by you. I appreciate that, to get the Yankees batting.
I mean, a great sacrifice, Don? Come on.
This was not part of the plan. Listen, we can have all our fun with Michael all we want. Fact is that
I'm a delight.
That's true. And also, we were given the opportunity to sit in, and Michael was going to do the play-by-play. He offered.
Yeah, I mean, you could have sat on my lap like a ventriloquist dummy, Peter. still would have fulfilled the entire thing.
I mean, right. I basically am still doing that, though. So pardon me if I'm not, you know, I'm not Don.
Do you expect me to hand off a very, very difficult play-by-play duties to a novice? Don's done play-by-play for hockey.
Let's you know, you really don't even think that I'm a broadcaster. Let's just be honest.
Well, I heard that you're the best broadcaster out there.
And you laughed. You laughed in my face.
I only laughed after you stumbled over the next sentence.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
Boy, was that hyperbole.
Let's take
or as Chris used to say, hyperbole. One quick thing about John. And I had forgotten about this. So John wears an earpiece.
Okay.
One earpiece. And after all these years of broadcasting, I mean, John's been broadcasting for about 62 years. He doesn't hear very well. So he has the earpiece in, and he turns it up to 10 when he talks so he can hear himself. That's why we wear headphones when we're doing games. And then when the person with him talks, it becomes too loud in his ear. So he turns it down to zero. So I started to think, that's why he's not answering me. He doesn't hear what I'm saying.
Oh, wow. That is unfortunate.
So, I mean, we got through it, but there was a lot of steppage and stuff like it. It wasn't Dave Maloney steppage, but it was steppage. I'm glad we did the two games, and people seemed to enjoy it. So that's what matters.
But you were ready to move on is what you're saying.
No. I think tomorrow at about 2:30, I'll be ready to move on.
Wow.
All right, I think people don't realize, Michael, you were apart more than you were together.
Yeah.
You haven't done a game together in 20 years. You did 10 years worth.
Right.
That's a long time to be apart from somebody.
And also, we're in separate, you know, separate
not
studios.
Ideal. No. Not ideal.
See, he would be able to hear me when he would turn down his earpiece when we were together in the same booth.
Right.
Because he could just hear the sound from the other ear. But now, he can't hear me. Mike Bielecki said, coming soon to Disney Plus, LaGrecaVision. That would work. I mean, WandaVision was such a big hit. And I look at the town that Wanda and Vision lived in, and that's how I look at Don's cul-de-sac. That kind of Shangri-La sort of situation. People plowing each other's driveway.
Excuse me?
All right, so Corey Davis is the Jets wide receiver that they signed. And did he tip his hand today, or the Jets' hand? Here is his exchange with our good friend from the NFL Network, Kim Jones. And, you know, she wanted to double back and see if what he said was exactly what he meant. So here's that exchange.
Did you sign with the Jets believing Sam Darnold will be your starting quarterback in September?
Yes, that's my understanding. Correct.
That's his understanding. Now, I will tell you this, guys. The Jets are recruiting him as a free agent. There's no guarantee they're going to get him. He could leave the building and that's it, and they don't get him. And then they're not giving away state secrets. You have to be very careful what you're doing. So if they sat him down and said, listen, Sam Darnold's the quarterback, but we are going to pick Zach Wilson, and then we're going to trade Sam. And then he didn't sign with them. Then the team that he signs with, he tells his agent tells other teams, and all of a sudden, the Jets don't get as much of a return for Sam Darnold if they trade him. Or they might have just said, don't worry, we're going to have a quarterback behind center. there'll be somebody to throw to you. Or they could have said, at this point, Sam Darnold is the quarterback. And that's as far as they went. I don't think the Jets told him secrets. Do you guys think they told him any secrets and he just let it slip today?
I don't know, because you're trying to win him over, right? There was teams that were interested in him.
Right.
So he's going to ask the question, who's my quarterback going to be? Because I can go sign over here and I know what I'm getting, but here, am I going to have to break in a rookie quarterback, or am I going to have a quarterback that's entering his fourth year? I thought you almost have to, if you really want to win him over, you gotta let him know who his quarterback's going to be. Otherwise, he can walk out of the room and say, "Well, I'm not doing that. I don't want to sit here and not know who my quarterback is going to be." Now you say to him, "Well, we might take Wilson or we might keep Darnold. Are you interested in either of those two?" And if he is, well, then I guess you don't have to tell him. But if I'm a free agent, I'm going to want to know who my quarterback, who's throwing me the ball.
Yeah, but I don't think that when a quarterback situation is up in the air, you can maybe they did tell him, Don. How about this? They did tell him, and before the Zoom conference, they just said, when they ask you, say that it's your assumption that it's Sam. Because
very
once they've
point.
Signed him, then they could have coached him on what to say with the question.
And they do, and not just the Jets, all these teams. If they know what they're doing from a PR standpoint, will let the player know what questions are coming so that they know how to answer them. And if they're not sure, or if the answer that they get in the pre-interview, they'll tell them what to say. Because they don't want to get caught. I remember, and without giving any information, that there was a year where the PR told all the Jet players, we do not answer any questions in comparison to last year. I think when they were coming off Rex and they were going to Todd Bowles, and it's like, they're going to ask you, compare Rex Ryan to Todd Bowles. Don't do it. Don't go there. And they were told, don't do it, because you're going to get trapped. You know, you're going to say something that you regret, or you can make Rex look bad, you're going to make Todd look bad. So they prepare these guys, and would it be that crazy that they say, listen, when they ask you about the quarterback, tell them the understanding is that it's going to be Sam, because that's where our quarterback is right now. And so you're not lying. But
well,
they would be lying if they told them we're
going to take, you know, we're going to take Zach Wilson when they were recruiting him. And then when he gets on, he goes, it's my understanding that it's Sam. Unless they kept it very nebulous during the recruitment. But if you're recruiting, I think if you're recruiting a wide receiver, it is fairly important who's going to throw in the ball. But as I said earlier, Don, on the soft open, I'm sorry. I love these guys. Yeah, I signed with this team because I like the coach's vision. You sign with the team because they offered you the most money. How many guys leave more money on the table because they like the coach's vision?
But you want to know what you're dealing with here. Because if Sam comes back, well, then the rebuild is going to be accelerated because you'll have a fourth-year quarterback. If you're going to draft a quarterback, then guess what? Then you're going to be, even if Wilson's good, they're not competing for a playoff spot.
Let me ask you this. So what did they give him? $45 million, I think, in that ballpark.
Right.
$23 million guaranteed, 3 years. No, it wasn't $45 million. It was less. It was like $35 million, $36 million for 3 years, something like that. What if the Buccaneers offered him 3 years at $20 million, and you have the greatest quarterback of all time? He's taking the Jet offer. He just is. This is their kick at the can. They don't get it very often. They're going to take the most money. Now, if it's close, that's a different story. But if there's a wide range between what one team offers that's not good and another team that's great and Super Bowl bound, you're going to take the money. Everybody wants to win, but everyone wants to be set up for life too.
Unless it's a one-year contract. Like, if you signed a one-year contract, then I think you're going to want, because you're obviously trying to build up your numbers to cash in after the season's over.
Then you want to be on a good team.
Right, so you want to make sure, like, I think Juju's thinking that way. I'm going to stick with what I know on a team that I know is going to compete for the playoffs. I'm going to put big-time numbers up, and then I'm going to cash in when the cap goes up. But if you're committing 3-4 years to an organization, you're going to want to know what direction are they going in. I think that's fair. Now, once you find out, you make your decision. But what he ends up saying in the interview, I would think, and rightly so, I'm not criticizing the Jets for it. You got to coach these guys up. You can't let slip what happened on Twitter a couple of weeks ago, right? During the mock draft, and you're hearing all these glowing things about Wilson. They want to tighten it up. And with the exception of that tweet, Michael, which we really ripped them for, they haven't given us any indication what they're going to do.
No, they've been very quiet about it. They really have.
You know, Joe Douglas hasn't said boo. Old Woody Johnson has done. And I don't know if you find this kind of weird. He's just arbitrarily tweeting out like classic Jet videos. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I did see it.
Peter, have you seen it? It's just weird.
I saw
like a Sean Green touchdown run. It's like, and he'll have some comment. I don't know. Either he's really good with it, or he just wants to like telling people what to do, or whatever. But he's not telling you anything.
Did you see his welcoming a new Jets player and saying nice mullet?
Yeah, he's definitely.
I wonder who's running that account. You think Woody's sitting there, or maybe he learned it from the former president.
I was going to say it's not like it would be completely out of character being where he's coming from.
1-800-919-3776. Now we have always thought, Don. I mean, we're kind of lifting the curtain here. That Ira is locked into the Jets somehow. He might have bugs in the room. He knows things that are going on.
I've been suspicious of that for a while. I think he's really in tune what's happening there.
Yeah, I think he's got sources.
He's the first person that greets me at camp, Michael.
Right.
And I'm not talking in the parking lot. I'm talking in the facility.
They don't even have to call him to renew his tickets. He calls them. So let's go to Ira right now, and he'll know exactly what the deal is with this. Ira in Staten Island, what's going on with this?
Hey, Michael, how are you? Hey, Peter Dunn, good luck tomorrow. I haven't listened to a baseball game on the radio probably in over 50 years, but tomorrow I'm going to tune in.
Oh, it's not going to start tomorrow.
It's on TV.
It's on TV.
It's on Yes.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, so I'm definitely going to put on the Yes Network. There you go. So, yeah, let me tell you, Douglas has really kept it close to the vest, and Michael, you're so right. When they say it's not about the money, it's always about the money. And you know what? Any one of you, if you're going on a job interview, you're going to want to know who your coworkers are going to be. And I'm sure Corey Davis at some point said to Joe Douglas and Salah or both together, who's throwing me the ball? And I'm positive that Jed said to him, we're going with Sam unless there's an opportunity to upgrade it to position. And I'm sure that was the answer that was given to him, because otherwise he's not signing here, because I'm sure he might have comparable offers. I don't know if anybody really had any other money on the table besides the Jets, but I'm sure that's how it went down. And I think Kim did a great job. And listen, he told it the way it was. Does it mean they're bringing Sam back? I'll take it with a grain of salt, but I think there's definitely something to it.
And I think that you said it the right way. They couldn't lie to him and say it's going to be Sam and then change, because then you've built your whole relationship on a lie.
Right.
They probably said it's Sam unless we see a chance to upgrade. So he knows it's either Sam or somebody they think is better than Sam.
But you make a good point, Michael. If they turn out and say, don't worry about it, we're drafting Wilson, and then he ends up not signing, then what's to stop him from just telling the world, oh, by the way, the Jets are taking Wilson at 2?
Right. You know what today is, right?
Tuesday.
You know what this time is, right?
I do.
It's time.
Oh, yeah.
For Drop Madness.
Needed a sip of coffee to get myself right for this.
You gotta hydrate.
Drop Madness.
Well, hydrate is not coffee.
Yeah,
I didn't realize it was coffee.
I needed to caffeinate. I've had a very, very long day, and I need to be ready for tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Drop Madness on the Michael Kay Show is brought to you by Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Wendy's. We got you. Let's go to the K region, the 6th seed.
You know the date. It is March 8th. No, it's not. It's May 8th.
Up against the 11th seed.
I just feel like doing a thirst trap. That's got to win. That's an upset.
I could see that being an upset. I tell you what, I think this is the best 3-14 matchup, maybe the best really high seed, low seed matchup in the tournament. You have the 3 seed in the K region.
You're an idiot. Your sister smells, and she's ugly.
Up against the 14 seed.
Stop capping. What does capping mean?
The Peter region, the 6 seed.
Did you hear what Rosenberg said?
Up against the 11 seed. Brock Ward.
Very underrated.
Then the 3 seed.
Oh.
Taking on the 14. Why are you worried about my arm hair, you weirdo? Then we head to the Don region in Austin, Texas, the 6 seed.
So that's my list today on Cinco de Mayo, the 5th of February.
Up against the 11 seed.
I'd love to sit down and talk to Owen Nolan.
It's a phenomenal matchup there, I got to tell you.
It really is. It could go either way. Oh, look, I voted. 30 votes in, it's 50-50.
See? Then we go to the 3 seed in the Don region.
Take the L!
Well, you know that's winning. Up against the 14 seed.
Special guest Jim Passan. Or Jeff Passan, either one. Come on, that was witty. That was a good comeback.
Oh, wow. I cannot believe the matchup we have in the Nether region. Don, you want to talk personal? Don, you want to talk personal?
Yeah.
The 6 seed.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Up against the 11 seed.
Let me think about it.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Mindy against Flip.
This is, I mean, I love you, Flip. You know who's getting my vote? Mindaru. No, no, no. Mindaru has to move on. Then we have the 3 seed.
Don't scream at me on
the
show.
Don't defend them. Against the 14.
Then I usually play ping pong. I've been doing that for the last week or so.
Good old Kenny Albert, who's actually calling ping pong in Passaic later today.
Ping pong and Passaic is big.
On Yahoo Sports. Yeah, it's going to be big. Go vote early and often, although you can only vote once. TMKS ESPN on Twitter. Thanks to our friends at Wendy's.
Ah, beautiful. Hey, tomorrow, March 24th, we've told you about it. The Yes Network will have the three of us call at least 2 innings of action when the Yankees take on the Blue Jays in an afternoon spring training game from Steinbrenner Field in Tampa. To make this all possible, our loyal 98.7 ESPN listeners have helped raise, how about this, over $30,000.
Incredible.
To the Make-A-Wish Foundation. That is incredible. You people have been just great. So thank you to all of our listeners for making this happen. To find out how you can help, go to bit.ly/kspringtraining. bit.ly/kspringtraining.
Mm.
Andrew in the studio is disrobing now as we speak, because coming up next, Jim Boeheim, and that's the only way to listen to Jim.
I've never thought that.
You
never
watch.
Heard of me.
Ask Anthony. Andrew will not be clothed during this interview.
That's, I might put an extra layer on now.
He reveres Jim Boeheim.
It was horrifying.
No, no. Coming in with another Sweet 16 appearance, Jim Boeheim, and joining us on the show in just a couple of moments right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Michael K. Show.
The coach of Syracuse, Jim Boeheim. You've got to explain this to me, Jim.
Yep.
Syracuse under you is 9-2 as a double-digit seed in the tournament. How do you explain that?
I must have just probably did a bad coaching job during the year, and now it took a while for the players to overcome that, I guess. No, we've done this 3 times. It's hard. I mean, maybe once you sneak through, but the last 3 times we've been a high seed, we just played really good basketball. I mean, coaches did a great job getting the players ready, and the players did a great job thinking they're going to win. And, you know, we've beaten some really good teams.
The Michael K. Show.
Let's just get the Yankees some pitching so we can win for one. We're due to win one again, all right?
On 98.7 ESPN.
Speaking of pitching, yesterday Jameson Taillon pitched very well. Today Corey Kluber pitched very well. So everything in terms of the starters has been great. So no worries for Jim
right.
Boeheim. Have you ever heard a guy who is literally a Hall of Famer be more defensive about what people think of? I mean, he's kidding on the square there. He really is. Because I don't think he thinks that he gets enough respect. I mean, he's taken teams to the Final Four, 20 Sweet 16s, but still, you ask him, he goes, well, I guess I was a bad coach. And I mean, he does that all the time. It's like an inferiority complex that he's trying to prove that he's good. Listen, you got the job. You're really good. They win in a place that I don't think would be easy to win in if Jim Boeheim wasn't there.
Yeah. But the problem is, in that sport, especially when you get to his level, it's all about compiling championships, right? So he's looking to win a championship and is disappointed if he doesn't. And he takes it personal. And I'm sure he uses that as motivation for his players too. But he feels like he wants to win. And if he doesn't win, then there's going to be a lot of disrespect coming. And who else are you going to blame?
And college basketball really is. It's you win so rarely that unless you're, you know, Wooden or Dean or Coach K, there's a big drop-off if you're not winning a multitude of championships.
If you're one of those coaches, Peter, you're the New York Yankees.
That's right. And everyone
else. You
don't
win the World Series. Nobody cares about your divisions. Nobody cares about your conference tournament. Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final Four. How many championships?
But when you look at the championships, I mean, Rick Pitino only has two. I believe that Calipari just has one. I mean, so Boeheim's got one. Dean Smith didn't win a truckload of them. Now, Krzyzewski has. But, I mean, you can't beat Krzyzewski. I think Jim Boeheim's going to be looked at as one of the greatest college coaches of all time. So I don't think he has to be that defensive. This portion of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London. The engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London, the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. You know, we finished the last hour talking about Lindor and, you know, do you grab the money? I don't know how serious this is, but Andrew just tells me, Fernando Tatis Jr., who just signed his 14-year contract for $340 million, just walked off the field with his hand on his hip with the trainer. So you never know what's going to happen.
George Springer's got a grade 2 oblique strain. Might not
look
be ready
at you preparing.
I didn't catch that. What'd you say?
I said, look at you preparing.
Well, yeah.
They don't give these jobs to chimps.
No, I don't think it's serious, but this is what happens. You know, little things happen here or there. And when you're getting offered that kind of money, are you going to sit there with the pride of, oh, I want to be the highest paid shortstop? I mean, give me a break. Take a look at the NFL and see who the highest paid quarterbacks are. And hardly ever are they the best quarterback. Was Matt Ryan ever the best quarterback? Was Eli Manning ever the best quarterback? Is Dak Prescott the best quarterback? You know, I mean, so stop with all that stuff. And listen, it's agent driven because there's a lot of pride there as well to get the best contract. But, yeah, you step on first base wrong. Something happens. You get hit in the face with a fastball. I mean, baseball is the one sport where you don't have to worry about injuries the way you do in football or hockey or even basketball. You know, you're a jump shot away from tearing your ACL and being out for a year and a half.
I mean, what if Tony Conigliaro, for you younger listeners, go look it up, had turned down a big contract? We got hit in the eye playing for the Red Sox. Never was the same player. Dickie Thon, never same player. These things can happen. It's a dangerous game.
I'll tell you what, Michael. Look, when David Wright signed that contract, was anybody worried about his back?
Nope.
How long did it take him to recover mentally and physically from the Matt Cain beaming to the head for David Wright? And also doing my work. Now, Joe Panik was never in Lindor territory, but Joe Panik had won a Gold Glove. He won a World Series. They were building around him. He took a couple of concussions, and I don't know if it's related, Michael, but now he's a backup infielder for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, it's a different world. I mean, again, if they insult you and they come in really low, but even if let's say they make him the highest paid shortstop, well, then when Corey Seager signs or Javi Baez signs or Correa, they'll top that, or Trevor Story. So it's going to be short-lived anyway. Who cares? Anyway, you know, we open up the show. We want to revisit. We have really, of the people that run New York teams, we have really been very, very hard on Dave Gettleman. And I think rightfully so. I don't think he's done the greatest job. I think he's done better than probably everyone has portrayed it. But I got to tell you, he deserves kudos for what he's done during this offseason. The Giants had no cap room whatsoever. Whatsoever. I give a lot of credit to Kevin Abrams, who's a capologist, and has maneuvered money around and did exactly what Gettleman said that the Giants don't want to do in order to squeeze all this talent in. But the Giants now, with the signing last night of Jackson, they're a really strong secondary. And they've got a really smart defensive coordinator who I think is going to do a good job. Again, I thought he did a great job last year. And I look at the offensive players he has with Golladay and the tight ends that he signed, and he's got a high draft pick. A lot of it rests on Daniel Jones. Is he going to take that next step? I think this Giant team is making the playoffs, and I really believe they're going to win the NFC East. I really do. I just don't see any great team.
Well,
the team that I would be most afraid of would be the Cowboys, and I actually think they're better than the Washington football team.
Well, the offensive line's a huge question mark, and that is a tough place to have a question mark. All right? The Dallas Cowboys, to me, are the favorites to win the division. Why? They've got the best quarterback in the division. All right? And I'm not the biggest fan of Prescott, but I think he's better right now going into this season than Fitzpatrick, than Jones, than Hurts. They've got a lot of weapons. They don't have the greatest offensive line like they did when Prescott first came in, but it's still a very good offensive line.
So you're putting Fitzpatrick ahead of Jones? You really are?
Well,
I mean,
I was just listing them in
order.
I don't know. I mean, I would probably predict with these weapons that Jones will have a better year than Fitzpatrick if they can sustain on the offensive line. But you know, Fitzpatrick is, yeah, he's 38 years old, Michael, but he can certainly play. But whatever, I'll get sidetracked. Is that the biggest problem for the Cowboys last year was A, losing their starting quarterback, and B, being poorly coached. And one of the reasons they were so poorly coached was Mike McCarthy, because there was a mutiny there, all right? But the bigger problem was Mike Nolan. All right, so Dan Quinn comes in to replace him. So they should be better coached defensively, which should make the defense better. So I think they're the team to beat in this division. And then it's between Washington and New York. And what are you going to get out of the quarterback position? It's not so much, Michael, who's a better quarterback, Fitzpatrick or Jones. Who's going to be better protected? Who's going to be able to take advantage of his weapons? So I like Daniel Jones a lot, but I didn't see much of a pocket presence from him last year under the rush, seeing the rush. I saw a lot of athleticism, and when it was stolen from him in the last month of the season when he got hurt, he was a target. And the Giants couldn't do anything offensively in that final month, and they blew a chance to win the division. So is the offensive line going to be better? I don't know, and that's a huge I don't know. What good are all these weapons if I don't protect the quarterback? What good is Saquon Barkley coming back, who is clearly, as much as we love him, not a guy that is going to be busting through a hole, all right? He's not Earl Campbell. He needs holes, and then he needs space. Is the offensive line going to give him space?
Yeah, but with my point about that, though, with the weapons they have now, no one could put eight guys in a box anymore. So he's going to have a fairer chance to gain yards, even if the offensive line is not like the Cowboys' offensive line from 5 years ago. They're going to have to account for Golladay. They're going to have to account for Slayton and for Ingram and for Shepard. They're going to have to account for those guys. They can't put eight guys in the box to stop the running game. So I think that's going to make him have a better year too.
That's the thing, Don. You don't know about the offensive line, but is Saquon's sheer existence going to change things? Even if Saquon's not a 1,600-yard rusher next year, is the threat of having him back there, plus the security blanket that he provides when things kind of fall apart, is that enough mixed with Golladay to lift Jones to a different level, even if the line's not that improved?
I love to see it. Yeah, you're right. It doesn't have to be the best offensive line in football, but it can't be the worst. It was ranked last year among the worst offensive lines in the sport. Now you're bringing Solder back. All right, well, it wasn't like Solder was any great shakes before he opted out because of COVID last year. All right? Thomas had a really tough rookie season. You know, you lose Zeitler. All right? Now, I love what Lemieux brought to the table last year. Gates was good. But that's got to be what they're looking at, because Vegas doesn't mess around, guys, right? Now, we could talk about them. They're trying to entice Giant fans to bet them and all that. But the fact is that's how they got it. That's the order. They think the Giants are going to be battling for last place in that division. Why? Has to be the offensive line. Or a complete lack of faith in Daniel Jones. But why would they have faith in Hurts and not Jones?
But you watch the Giants closer than anybody, Don. They lost some close games last year.
They did.
They didn't get blown out an awful lot. So if they convert those close games, I mean – is Kenny Golladay worth two wins? Can he make those close losses actually, 4-point, 5-point wins? I think, I think they've done enough to really improve that offense. I mean, I think their offense overall last year was 17th, and their rushing game was about 24th. Well, right. If you have Saquon for the whole year, it's got to be better.
Well, I mean, obviously, if Galladay's the target instead of Ingram in that Eagle game, they catch it first down, milk the clock, they beat the Eagles. All right, that's one win right there. They have the ball with a chance to tie with the two-point conversion against the Rams, I think it was. It was the Rams and the Bears. They had the ball final possession, didn't get it. Are you helped by having a guy that had 11 touchdowns 2 years ago? Of course you are. But there's also it was a problem when Eli was here. It's been a problem when you had, whether it was McAdoo, whether it was Shermer, and now Judge. Winning these divisional games have been a problem. Beating the Eagles has been a problem for a decade. Whether it was Donovan McNabb, whether it was Wentz, whoever it is, they had problems against Philadelphia. They've had problems recently against Dallas. Yeah, they should have won that Dallas game, but they didn't. So these are the things that really bother you when you start to assess, because the one caller is like, oh, they should go 4-2 division. Why do we say that? Show me you could beat the Eagles twice. This looks like a year you should be able to do it. Do it. Win the couple of games against the Cowboys. Go 4-2 in the division. Then you could start talking about, like they said, now you have the Broncos and you have the Saints without Breeze, and now you can put together 10-11 wins. But, yeah, they lost those close games, Michael, but they got to figure out a way to win them.
I just think that Gettleman realizes he has to win, has to make the playoffs this year. He's 70 years old, and if they don't make the playoffs and they have another 6-10 season, he's gone. And he's not getting another job at that age. So if he wants to keep in this position, he knows these moves are designed to save his job. So I think he's going to do everything he has to do, and he'll improve. Maybe he drafts an offensive lineman in the draft on April 29th. Not sure. But, you know, right now you don't love the pieces they put out there, but maybe they're going to be better. Who knows? As Don said, Pro Football Focus had them rated 30th out of 32 teams in terms of the overall offensive line. That's not good. I think they'll be better.
Now he's banking on, you know, everything, even more than maybe the wins and losses right away, that Jones is the guy. And he must believe Jones is the guy. He took him 6th overall, and they didn't seem to have any interest in upgrading in the position this year. But you got to give him somebody to throw the ball to, and now you got to ultimately protect him. Now I know you can build offensive lines. I saw Minnesota do it. You know, it doesn't have to be where it takes years to get it done. Go out and strategically get the right people in place. And maybe it was a tough spot for Solder that first year, because let's face it, that team was not close. I don't know why they thought they were close to winning a championship when they picked up Solder and gave him all that money. What a joke that turned out to be, right?
Yep. That was an overpay.
That was way overpay.
It was the most ever at the time.
Yep. Yeah, he was the highest paid left tackle at the time, because they felt like that was, they had to protect Eli and they were going to make a run for it. Didn't even come close. Now they've really gotten rid of a lot of those players. They've revamped the roster. I will give Gettleman credit. I think he's drafted well. I think when you know, Slayton was taken what, in the 5th round? We're talking about him as being a big time weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So he's found some gems. It just, I really believe he was under orders to try to win. Now he's built, and now let's start to see the fruits of his labor, right? They were 6-10 last year with a slew of injuries. He went out. Now they've got, Michael, I think, one of the best secondaries in football.
Yep.
And
Bradbury and Jackson.
Bradbury and Jackson. You know, he got Logan. He went out and got Peppers in the deal for Cleveland.
Odell. Yep.
For Odell. So he's put together a great secondary. If Leonard Williams is legit and is going to be a double-digit sack guy, good defensive line. Now you got to win in the trenches, and you got to make sure that offensive line is going to give support to your franchise quarterback. And let's see. I'm optimistic too, Mike. I'm not ready to say win the division, but with the expanded playoffs, why not a playoff spot?
We told you earlier about Justin Wilson walking off the mound yesterday against the Phillies. The Yankees just said they don't have additional information yet on the MRI. So if we hear anything, we will get it to you. Let's take some phone calls. Let's go to Jim. He's in New York. Jim, what's up?
Hey, guys. Been listening, and I felt compelled to call. I'm a big-time Giant fan, obviously really excited about the moves they've made this week. And Mike, to your point, you said, is Kenny Galladay worth a couple extra wins? You know, I think between Galladay and Adoree Jackson, I mean, you look at his 18 and 19 seasons, where he ranked as a corner in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus.
Yep.
How many extra third downs do we get off the field and have them punt and give the ball back to the offense? How much better can Jones be with the new weapons at his disposal? And I agree. I think it all comes down to the O-line. But based on everything I saw from Judge last year and the improvements as the season went on, I mean, I don't see how Giants fans can't be excited heading into this year.
Yeah, that's the way I feel. And another thing with the offensive line, right? The bottom line is you're going to play two tight ends a lot. And the tight ends could actually do a good job blocking. All right, so want to get this to you. Deshaun Watson has finally responded to the countless accusations. This is a statement by Rusty Harden. I want to emphasize at the outset that we and Deshaun recognize that sexual assault and harassment are not only unlawful but morally wrong. It takes courage for women to come forward to report being mistreated, particularly when they attach their names to a lawsuit. We do not take these allegations lightly. However, fairness to the accused is equally as important. Opposing counsel has orchestrated a circus-like atmosphere by using social media to publicize 14 Jane Doe lawsuits during the past 7 days in a manner calculated to inflame the public and malign Deshaun's otherwise sterling reputation. In addition, the tactic of refusing our request to confidentially provide the names of the plaintiffs so we can fully investigate their claims makes uncovering the truth extremely difficult. Anonymity is often necessary as a shield for victims, but opposing counsel has used it as a sword to publicly humiliate Deshaun before the truth-seeking process can even begin. I believe that any allegation that Deshaun forced a woman to commit a sexual act is completely false, and in the one case in which we have been able to identify a plaintiff, we have strong evidence showing the allegation is false. In January of this year, a woman attempted to blackmail Deshaun by demanding $30,000 in exchange for her, quote, indefinite silence about what she stated was a consensual encounter. It is our belief this woman is the plaintiff in cause number 2021-15613. This calls into... we have received numerous unsolicited comments in the past week from many licensed massage therapists who have worked with Deshaun in recent years. These women describe him as a gentleman and a model client who never engaged in inappropriate conduct. Indeed, before these salacious claims, everyone who associated with Deshaun described him as outstanding, respectful, and compassionate. Again, we are taking the allegations very seriously, and we ask only that people not rush to judgment, that people not be unduly influenced by opposing counsel's antics, and that they let fundamental fairness to both sides rule the day. Thank you for your patience and understanding. So they finally answer, and what they're saying is that it's a bunch of Jane Does. They're not giving us the names of these people. We can investigate them. But that doesn't mean that what they're saying is wrong or not true.
And then now the number's up to 14?
Yeah.
It's going to be a circus. Right, Peter? This is all just one, you know. See, unfortunately for Rusty Harden, or fortunately for these women, you know, and women in general, is that back in the day, Rusty Harden could have went after them. He's that's the politically incorrect thing to do. So he's got to soft shoe everything because you can't be in a position to just outwardly call these 14 women liars. So they have to investigate it. But unfortunately for, I guess, Deshaun, nothing is stopping the lawyer of the women to defame Watson. But is he defaming Watson if Watson actually did it? So all it is just a back and forth of my client is pure as the driven snow, and these women are nameless people, and the other client's going to say, well, this is some millionaire athlete who's going to hire the best lawyer. It's just a back and forth circus show. We're not going to know anything until an actual investigation can be taking place here.
And I don't know that it helps them. They're saying, well, many women have reached out to say that he was a model client. Problem is, that's still reinforcing that he gets so many different people to give him massages, which I don't think helps if they're trying to say these things aren't true, does it help the case to point out that there's basically countless people he hires to give him massages?
All right, NBA trade deadline's coming up in a couple of days. That'll be a great time to talk to our good buddy Frank Isola. So stick around for that. We'll see what the Nets and the Knicks could be cooking up. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.